present the News Quiz with your host, Sandy Toksvig.
Hello and welcome to the News Quiz. We start with a cutting from the Medford Advertiser read by Neil Sleet.
A man was arrested on Sunday when police responded to a report of two dogs attacking a duck in Lithia Park. The duck refused medical treatment and left the area.
Now, thanks to everyone who sent that in. Now, let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first, on my right, Susan Kalman and Marcus Brigstock. And opposite them on my left, Hugo Rifkin and Jeremy Hardy. Susan, who has broken his silence and become a ghetto blaster?
This is Ian Duncan Smith, who was voicing his opinion on why the recent riots occurred, one of his theories, and that's because of the ghettos. That was my street speak, thanks. I'm wearing a baseball cap. I just look like a 12-year-old boy when I wear a baseball cap, actually. I get half ears on the bus, but...
Do you wear it with the peak forward or behind you?
When I wear it forward, yeah. I do look like Jimmy Cranky. Ian Duncan Smith suggested that because people are living in ghettos and council estates and the middle classes are ignoring them, that's one of the reasons why people rioted. Now, interestingly, Scotland has some of the most deprived areas in the country, and we did not riot.
Why?
Because people couldn't really be bothered, wasn't
it? They would have gone out, seen a Greggs, had a macaroni pie and gone home again. Because that's all you go out the house for. Sometimes I have a...
Did you say a macaroni pie?
A macaroni pie.
Wow. Scotland is just a genius nation when it comes to culinary invention.
It's all about combining cultures.
Yeah.
Sometimes I get a macaroni pie and I eat it in a doorway and I'm al fresco.
Who says multiculturalism doesn't work?
So, I mean, it's an explanation. I think there is something to be said for the social housing situation and the ghettos that have been created. I don't think it's entirely the explanation, because there are areas of the country where there are people living in appalling conditions, and they didn't go out and steal televisions and try on clothes. That's my favourite thing about the people. They went into shops and tried them on before they stole them. I had to deal with shoplifters when I worked in a shop, and we were taught how they did it. And sometimes people put foil in their pants and then put things down their pants.
Because What's the foil for? Is it for food so it doesn't go off? What's it for?
When you go through security gates, it stops the signal going through. So what you can do is you can make foil pants.
And any other top tips for looters?
My favourite photo was that woman who was arrested for looting Currys wearing a shirt that showed that she worked at Currys. And I thought that was... And you sort of thought... Either she's gone back to where she works and she's going to be surprised tomorrow that she doesn't have anywhere to work, or maybe she was really clever and the police came in and she pulled it on and was like, thank God you've come.
I keep forgetting Ian Duncan Smith is in the government. Mm. Somebody said to me the other day, did I have a view on IDS? And I said, well, have you tried roughage?
I think Ian Duncan syndrome's quite sweet, really, because he's just baffled by the idea of people who haven't got money. And he just sort of goes around saying, so let me get this straight. You don't have any money at all, and you haven't inherited any? God, that must be absolutely beastly. So where do you shop for quails' eggs?
Ian Duncan Smith was very concerned that the middle classes had been ignoring what happens on these council estates. And I wondered whether maybe some sort of safari could be organised for... I mean, I'm pretty posh, and I went on safari on my honeymoon. Perhaps if we were in quite a safe jeep or something, we could go and look at these council estates and see if you can spot the big five.
You take a gun, but hopefully not have to use it, obviously.
Well, of course. No one wants to. I mean, to see these creatures in their natural habitat is a real privilege.
Ian Duncan Smith has said that the recent riots are the price the middle class must pay for turning a blind eye to the plight of people in ghettos. IDS said we had ignored them for too long, and last month the inner city came to call. Sounds like a violent Avon lady. 2 points to Susan. Hugo, whose empire does not back strikes?
Ed Miliband. Oh my God, Ed Miliband.
This is the kind of mistake between brothers that he's suffering from.
Yeah, I think a lot of people made that mistake, but the other way around. he was addressing the TUC this week, and he said, now look here, strikes over pensions, that just wouldn't be reasonable. And they said, reasonable? For God's sake, if we wanted someone to be reasonable, we wouldn't have bought you that dagger you used to stab your brother in the back. Get out there and be unreasonable right now. But he won't, and so he's still saying that they shouldn't strike over pensions.
But there was one of the union people, Mark Sawatka. He said Miliband's speech was a slap in the face. And I thought, oh, I don't know. At least you can stay awake during a slap in the face. See, I don't mind what the TUC do as long as they keep making those lovely crackers. I think it's...
It's getting a bit depressing, Ed Miliband. I mean, whichever side you're on, whoever you sort of believe in, you do want an opposition. I mean, the Tories could be doing anything. They could be, you know, harvesting the spleens of children. And he'd just be like, well, we're very sorry that the last government had some dubious policies.
They're not going to get away with that with Nick Clegg watching them.
I mean, I think you're right. I thought it was quite weird to see Miliband in the paper, because you sort of forget he exists. It's a bit like finding a sort of mouldy pepper at the back of the fridge. You know? Yes, we did buy that.
Is it too late to stuff it?
I love watching Ed Miliband because he looks like, you know, when hilariously you put your arms through someone's jacket and pretend to do someone else's arms? It looks like someone is behind him, making him look like a total idiot by going, so, see, the thing is, right? He gesticulates too much. It's distracting.
He's just terrified, isn't he? He's terrified. See, I think there's this thing, he's got to distance himself because he mustn't be seen to be in hock to the unions. But the whole point of the Labour Party is it's supposed to be in hock to the unions, just as the Tories are supposed to be in hock to big business and the Liberals are supposed to be in hock to baffled, well-meaning people with food allergies.
But he's in hock to the unions in the same way that a child is in hock to their parents, you know. Sort of, it was all fine when they were little and it all started, but now it's just, stop it, you're embarrassing me. Don't go on strike, I'll look like an idiot. Like, them going on strike is like your parents dancing at a wedding. It's as bad as it can be in front of his mates.
Ed Miliband was booed at the TUC's annual conference this week when he refused to back strike action over cuts to public sector pensions. Apparently, the National Union for Teachers has said that math teachers might be prepared to strike. According to them, 50% are in favour, 50% are against, and the rest are undecided. As many as 1 million public sector workers are expected to take action, although only about 500 will actually be on strike, with the rest being health and safety strike compliance officers. 2 points, Stukshugu. Jeremy, who's made a Russian visit to an old enemy?
David Cameron's been to see Ivan. I don't want to launch into a big tirade against Vladimir Putin because I don't want to die. but he went there and he managed to generate 500 jobs in this country somehow. And he did look terrified most of the time because he's sitting in a room with a man who can kill him with a paperclip. And there was this bit where he made his speech where he said, well, although there are moments, of course, when we disagree, and then there's this beat, and afterwards you can see him thinking, I'm still alive. and he said he hasn't parked human rights concerns. He's just turned the engine off to save petrol.
Be fair, he did raise concerns about human rights. Well, he complained about the legroom in business class. I don't Well, they lifted the ban on British beef. You wouldn't think that people who use polonium as a condiment would be so fussy.
When the polonium poisoning happened, there were concerns that it would have spread to lots of people.
Mm.
And the initial advice was to phone NHS Direct. I've phoned NHS Direct, and I know that they weren't fully qualified for this. Right, are your hands glowing? Go to your GP.
Didn't Cameron say that the KGB had tried to recruit him?
That was the best part of it. The entire visit for me was the fact he decided to tell this anecdote. He went to Russia on his gap year and he was on a beach and this Russian couple who spoke very good English took him out for lunch and dinner, right? And he thinks that was a KGB recruitment exercise. Now, there's two possibilities. Either he was sent by the British government as bait, right, to see whether or not they would try and recruit him. Or he was recruited and is a sleeper. And in the event of something, for example, that he became prime minister, he would become activated and try and ruin the economy and the health service. So I think it's still possible it did happen. And it's an elaborate double bluff he's playing.
See, I thought there was a third possibility, which is this couple had picked him up and taken him for lunch and taken him for dinner and they were just trying to shag him.
No.
No? What's a teenage David Cameron doing taking his gap year in Russia anyway?
It was a safari to see poor people.
David Cameron's whirlwind visit to Russia secured £215 million worth of business deals but failed to make progress on human rights issues and the case of the former KGB spy Alexander Litvinenko. Cameron said he wanted to rebuild the relationship with Russia and put an end to the tit-for-tat. Well, we've got off to a bad start.
When are they going to send us some tat?
I know. 2 points to Jeremy. At the end of round one, the scores are Susan and Marcus have got 4 points, but so too have Hugo and Jeremy. We start round two with a cutting from the Benfleet and Hadley recorder.
The Spring Watch team visit a colony of kittiwakes in the heart of the city, and there's a close encounter for Chris Packham and Kate Humble with a pair of great tits.
Thanks to Mark Willis for sending that in. Susan, what might have been a particle of faith after all?
Yes. Now, this is a science story, and before I start trying to explain it, I should explain I don't understand science. I used to use the Bunsen burner at school for marshmallow toasting purposes. Now, this is about the God particle and the Large Hadron Collider. Which is a giant ray gun that they're going to use to shoot people. I don't care. But essentially they said they might not be able to find it, right? It doesn't exist. Or, my favourite explanation, it's hiding. One of the scientists actually said, we can't find the God particle, it might not exist, but it might just be hiding. Now, when I was doing science at school, right, and I was asked to identify a hydrocarbon chain, if I'd said, I can't find it, but I think it's dressed as a pirate, I wouldn't have got any marks for my science.
I reckon it's hiding in Pakistan. Very close to a military installation. And don't tell me the ISI don't know about it.
The first time the super collider, where they started it up and then they had to shut it down at a cost of many millions of euros, and it was because someone had dropped a sandwich in it. It's fantastic.
But this thing costs, what, 4.4 billion pounds? It can't make toast. It can't record the killing for me.
No, that's true. But now that the scientists reckon that there isn't a God particle, I think they should hand it over to the religious people and they can fire Richard Dawkins at Christopher Hitchens and see if the collision of those two people proves there is a God. Or at least cheers him up a bit.
Why it's going to be very... It's small, isn't it? It's a particle.
What? It's really tiny.
It's really tiny. I mean, the chances of finding it are fairly remote, even under a mountain in Switzerland. Is it one of those mountains where the top slides off and a rocket comes? There's a supervillain stroking a cat inside. Yeah.
And there's a shark pit when you go down in the elevator. I still do that in lifts. Does anyone else do that in lifts? Is anyone nodding? Yeah, you know in James Bond where the lift opened and went down into a shark pit and the person died?
Yeah.
I always still stand with my legs wide open in lifts.
Can I just say, Susan, you're not the tallest woman in the world. I think even if you had them as far apart as you can do it, you'd still end up in the sharks. I'm just saying.
It is fairly rare that Sandy can turn on someone and do a height gag. And can I just say how honoured I am to be sitting in the middle of this particular spat?
It's like a Lilliputian sandwich.
The important thing about physics is it's all made up, though, isn't it? Because biology is true, because there are animals and plants, we know that. And chemistry is true, because there's boots. But physics is all rubbish. That's why lots of physicists apparently actually do believe in God, because it's too big of a... You look at space, you say, OK, what happened was, see, there was a big bang, because before that, there was nothing. There was no time, you see, and then there was this big explosion thing, and then something exploded, and that created... Oh, bollocks, there's a God. Because the thing is, you think, well, what exploded? How could there have been a big bang? There was nothing. What was the catalyst for this explosion? Who was responsible? And given that it was all a very long time ago, isn't it time that we drew a line under it and moved on? So, I mean, no one was hurt.
No. But if they're scientists, why can't they work on the stuff that we need to know? Like, how do cables get tangled when nobody touches them? How do you wash up a sieve?
Have they... That is fiendishly difficult, isn't it?
It is really hard.
And there's also no way of drying a sieve other than to shake the water all over the house.
And I've got a conical sieve, and that's really difficult because you...
Do you know what? I think people listening in prison are going to start to really hate us. Bearing in mind that most people who listen to us are bedridden lighthouse keepers or people who've carried out very serious crimes.
If you are listening to this in a lighthouse, can you just check down the back of the sofa and see if the Higgs boson particle's there?
Physicists searching for the Higgs boson or God particle at the Large Hadron Collider have expressed doubts that it will ever be found. CERN's research director is called Sergio Bertolucci, and their spokesman is called Guido Tonelli. Having failed to find the God particle, they're now thinking of opening an Italian restaurant featuring the world's largest salad spinner. The spokesman for the collider said if the particle can't be found, it would turn the concept of nature on its head. This is all we need. Dogs weeing upwards. 2 points to Susan. And actually, I'm going to give you an extra point because I thought your science was spot on there. I thought that was...
Shown her workings in the margin here
as
well.
You're not Nicholas Parsons. You can't just give people a point because the audience did enjoy the challenge. You can't do it.
And
you
point
have
off...
very limited powers.
Point off for Jeremy.
This is a constitution.
Hugo, why can't money buy happiness for little people?
This is a report by UNICEF where they've said people in the UK, they buy their children's affection with goods, and UK children are the most unhappy in the developed world because they spend all the time playing with gadgets. And I wasn't sure if that was true. I read this and I thought, I wonder if it's true that we bribe our children to be happy with gadgets. So I asked my two-year-old and she faxed me back to say, yes, absolutely true. So, terrible shame. But it was a bit strange that the UN's doing this because I'm not entirely sure it's what the UN's for. I mean, I'm all for the UN, you know, bringing about world peace and solving climate change, but telling us that we buy too many iPods for our children, better things to do.
It'd be good
surely.
If they sent in babysitters, though, wouldn't it? In blue berets, you know, when it all kicks off and there's a bit of a row and your child won't eat the rest of their fish finger, and the UN send in a peacekeeping force to...
Better than NATO. You'd be, like, arguing a bit with your child and NATO would come over and bomb the lot of you, so...
There is truth in the fact that we do not spend enough time with our kids. It's said that we tend to park them in front of the television, which worries me because children's TV is really weird now because they have this In the Night Garden, which I'm sure was even more terrifying in the original German.
In the Night Garden, you will have noticed the similarity between David Cameron and Iggle Piggle. You will have seen that.
Oh, God, yes.
It's the perfectly spherical eyes and the kidney bean-shaped head. It's amazing.
When I was very young, children's television was much better because there'd be a man in a suit sitting behind a counter saying... Hello, children. Here's a puppet dog. Hello, puppet dog. What's that? You want to say hello to the children? Well, go on, then. Woof. And that was, you know, it kind of knew where you were.
But okay. It's difficult to spend time with your children because they're exhausting.
And irritating.
Oh, they are.
They're really annoying.
They're sweet and everything, but, oh, man. And also, you know, I'm a man, basically, and... And that means if I spend time with my children in public, eventually I end up on some sort of register because it's not normal, especially where I live. I live in southwest London, and if you're a bloke that's around during the day, you're treated with a great deal of suspicion. And I took my daughter to the park just recently and was pushing her on a swing, and she was making all the sort of noises you'd hope for from a five-year-old on a swing. Whee, hooray, and all the rest of it. I gave her one really huge push, and as she reached the top of the forward swing, shouted, I could kick Jesus from here. All the other mummies in Wandsworth going, come on, Tarquin, we're going home. It's that man again. And it wasn't like she didn't mean an assault on the Son of God. She just meant...
You've said enough, Marcus, you've said it. I took my daughter to the park the other day and I sat her on the swing and I gave her a push and she said, Dad, I don't want to be rude, but I really have to go to work now.
According to the latest research by UNICEF, British children are the unhappiest in Europe, with parents buying their kids presents rather than spending time with them. The report also found that children in the UK rarely take part in outdoor activities. It's very pessimistic, isn't it?
Very.
What about the riots that got them out and about? 2 points to Hugo. Jeremy, why are the police literally not up to the job?
Tom Windsor, who used to be the rail regulator, who looked into all the weird things about Balfour Beatty and what they did in Jarvis and what they did to our trains, because they thought paper over the cracks was more than just an expression. Tom Windsor used to be the rail regulator, and now the government has appointed him to look into Da Babylon, the police, the old Bill, the Rosses, and find out what can be done and to improve them, and he says that they're all illiterate. Hmm. Which rather gives the lie to the idea that the reason there's no police on the beat is that they're all in the back rooms form-filling and going through all this nonsense and doing lots of writing. They're obviously not. They're just doing colouring in there.
So would the police start saying, you have the right to remain silent, but anything you do say, you'll need to say very, very slowly?
See, I had the police round just the other week because someone nicked my bike out the shed. The policewoman goes, what sort of bike was it? And I said it was a hybrid. And she wrote down the word hi on her pad and then stared at it for ages. And I was looking at it and the policeman was looking at it and there was just this horrible silence.
They took the bike out of the shed?
Yeah.
I've got a friend of mine in Bradford and
they was it him?
No. Somebody came round and took the shed. And they laid all the tools out really neatly on the lawn. Obviously not a gardener. I was just thinking maybe they wanted the shed for your bike.
Could be.
I could solve crime.
The insinuation is, I can't just put on the uniform that I have bought for fancy dress purposes. And say, I'm a policewoman. Right? You have to sit an exam in order to actually be accepted fully into the police force. Now, a long time ago, I used to work for Curry's Electrical Superstore. And before I was allowed to sell microwaves and washing machines, which was my department, I had to go and do a week-long course and sit an exam, a proper written exam on things. Now, if I had to sit an exam to get a badge to sell a hairdryer, I would hope that the police had a fairly stringent exam that wasn't just, here's some fuzzy felt, show me how you would apprehend a burglar. Do you know what I mean? I would hope there might be something slightly more than what I went through to sell people electrical goods.
Do you still know about microwaves and things? Because
yes.
I'm going to John Lewis tomorrow.
Mm, yeah. No, I do keep it. Do you know, it's really sad because I still keep up to date.
It's quite sad.
It is very sad.
Yeah.
It's a general mood of sadness in the room, I think.
No, sometimes I get really excited. If someone says I'm thinking of buying a vacuum cleaner,
yeah.
I really know my stuff.
I think just the fact that you call it a vacuum cleaner and not a Hoover shows already more knowledge than ever. Than anyone else. Is, I like to go into the Dyson shop and ask for a Dyson Hoover. Or...
So it just shows you how good the training was. If someone comes and says a Hoover, you have to go, a vacuum cleaner. And then you have to sell them the extended warranty.
Hasn't he just invented a dryer of some kind, just called hot? Or
a
something?
Blade. You put your hands in and it... and
chops
and
them off.
It chops them off.
Yeah. See, I like those because the old ones on the wall are only fitted by very tall men. What is that? What is wrong with tall people putting their hands down a little bit? Why do we short people have to suffer?
I went into a loo in Cambridge where they had a motion-activated hand dryer right next to the urinal. If you moved a muscle, it suddenly this hot air started to blow your stream.
Yeah.
And there's someone next to you going, don't cross the streams, don't cross the streams.
As a young man, I remember the warm air hand dryer when they first replaced the dangly towel, being quite excited by stretching the front of one's trousers out and warming. But no,
we were discussing the police.
No, but this is important public information. I just want to say for anyone who did that, for goodness sake, don't lower yourself into the Dyson air blade. Goodness me, that smarts. It does. Very, very uncomfortable. It's hard to know whether to lift it out while it's still happening or just bite down on something and try and see it through.
That George Foreman grill's got a nasty bite
yes,
as well.
Yes, it really has.
Don't stop. Don't go there, Susan. I just feel it's going to give you trouble.
What I was going to say was...
Yes.
Marcus, bless she's hysterical. Her. Strike her.
She's too small, Jeremy. I can't see where she is.
I am the God's particle. It's been here all along.
It was in Glasgow eating a macaroni pie.
According to Tom Windsor, the lawyer responsible for reviewing police pay and conditions in England and Wales, some police officers can barely read or write because the standard of education needed to join the service has fallen so low. Tom Windsor said, "We've looked at the educational standards for the police from 1930 and 1946, and I can tell you they are very, very significantly harder." Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings that the teams have brought along, Ms. Kalman.
This has been sent in by Tony Cleesby, and it's from the Hexham Courant and Northumberland Weekly. Between Thursday, August 23rd and Saturday, September 3rd, burglars entered a house in Elveston Drive through a window, but left empty-handed after taking a look around.
Mr. Brigsock.
This cutting is sent by Ian Dickinson. According to Thai police, a man was arrested in Bangkok airport with a baby bear, a pair of panthers, two leopards and some monkeys in his luggage. This is a very unusual case, said police.
Mr. Rifkin.
This has been sent in by Joseph Burr-Pixton. It's from the Cambridge Evening News, and it's a cutting that says, a man has been found dead in a city cemetery this evening. Police are not treating his death as suspicious.
Mr. Hardy.
This was sent in by Victoria Isherwood of Liverpool, and she says, here are the first and second news items from today's Liverpool Echo website. First one is, time to change stereotypes of Liverpool, says Olympic swimmer Steve Parry. Second one is, yellow submarine model stolen from outside Liverpool church.
Let's take a look at the final score. Hugo and Jeremy have got 7 points, but this week's winners are Susan and Marcus with 9 points. Before we leave you, here is an odd phrase spotted on a poster promoting an upcoming Sky television series sent to us by Toby Wood.
Jeremy Irons the Borgias.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Susan Kalman, Marcus Brigstock, Hugo Rifkind and Jeremy Hardy. In the chair was Sandy Toksvig, and the news was read by me, Neil Sweet. The chair's script was written by Roderick Cooks, Carl Carter and Jane Lavercraft, with additional material by Andy Walton, Benjamin Partridge and Ed Barrett. The producer was Victoria Lloyd.